The chorus of that song said, "Lord, lift me up to higher ground." And I'm thankful today that that's the business that the Lord's in. The Lord is in the business of not pushing us down, not looking for ways to eliminate us or separate us from His kingdom. But the Lord is looking for ways to lift us up. Thank the Lord. Thankful for the hope of the gospel. I'm thankful this morning that we have opportunity to read the hope of the gospel, and that it indeed carries with it hope for whosoever will. I'd like to write on the board the little thought this morning. I've written on the board, "Are works required?" That's the title of the message, maybe the first of two or three. This morning we'll probably just kind of get a start by the help of the Lord. But what works are we talking about? I'm not talking about, the Scripture doesn't really talk about mowing the grass or weeding, although those things are important. But it's not that kind of work. It's the question that's been on my heart is, are spiritual works, are they necessary? Does the Lord require them? Are good works necessary? Is it important that that the fruit of the Spirit be outwardly manifested from our lives? Or is our salvation predicated on that? Does it have anything to do with our salvation? Or can maybe we be saved and maybe this works and conduct, the conduct of our lives, maybe it's overrated. Is it overrated? That's my thought, my burden. I'd like to read a few verses for consideration and like to set the foundation. And so I'd like to read more than one or two verses. I'm going to read these verses fairly quickly for the sake of time. And so maybe if you're one of the types that take notes, maybe just writing down where the verse is, because by the time I get done, by the time you find it, I'm probably going to be done reading it, because I summarize the verses and I'm going to go pretty quick. Galatians 2 and 16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Galatians 2 and 16. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Titus, the third chapter, the fifth verse, starting at the fifth verse, says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And these are just a few of many verses. So I wanted to have more than one. I wanted to get more than two. So I chose three. But there's many more verses in the New Testament that teach us that our salvation is not by works, not by being justified by the works of the law, but rather Our salvation comes by grace through faith. Many verses say that. Okay. Yet on the other hand, there are these verses. 2 Corinthians 5 and 9. Wherefore we labor, and just make a note that these next three verses are written by three different authors. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, whether dead or whether alive, we may be accepted of Him, meaning God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body when we were yet living in this world, according to that He hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and 9. 1 Peter 1 and 15 through 17. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all ways that you live your life, the decisions that you make, the words that you use, the way you use your time, be holy. Because it is written, again, be ye holy, for I am holy. What does holy mean? We are called to be set apart from that which is not holy. We are called to be set apart from that that is at variance with God. We are called to raise our hands and be consecrated to doing the Lord's will, to be dedicated to following after the Creator. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. And if you call on the Father, if you call on God, who without respect of person, doesn't matter if you're a preacher, doesn't matter if you're the one that faithfully testifies, it doesn't matter if you're the one that gives of your resources and fasts twice a week and gives and does these different things that the Pharisee prayed about thus with himself. If you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Not paralyzed with fear. Pass your time with the utmost respect and honor and recognition that I'm the created and that He's the Creator and that I want to live in a way that pleases Him and that I live my life with a proper perspective of what's important. Pass the time of your sojourning, because we indeed are just passing through this life. It's not permanent. It's going to go quick. Revelations 20 and 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, those that have passed from this life, made it to the judgment, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So I didn't write these verses. These verses are all right out of the Word of God. So back to the question posed this morning. Are works required? Is it really necessary for our salvation? How how do we reconcile the differences in these verses that we read? Because on the one hand, we read where we're not saved by our works. We can't be saved by our works, but rather we are saved by grace. And yet on the other hand, multiple places we read that we will be judged by our works. So, which is it? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever struggled with that? Have you ever come to church and the preacher preaches about salvation is by grace and not your works, and just have faith in God? Thank God for that message this morning. But have you come and heard that, and then you go away and you go home and you think, but so does it matter how I live? Or, I mean, if that's what it is, so our works are is the fruit of the fruit that comes out of my life, is my conduct, is it really that important? Or perhaps you come to church and go to camp meeting and the preacher gets up and preaches a strong, powerful message on the things that can send you to hell and the importance of living a life that measures up to righteousness and holiness and godliness. And when you feel challenged by it, thank the Lord for those messages. Thank God for those messages. But then you go home and you think about that and you think, but I thought I was saved by grace. And it's not of works, lest I boast and feel like that I'm good. But it's about Jesus and His blood. And well, so what really does all of that mean? What's the balance? I don't know. Maybe you haven't thought about it like that. I have. And that's my burden this morning, and Lord willing, for a few services. So what's the answer? Is it one or the other? It's both. The answer is that it's both. I cannot do enough works. I cannot do enough good. I'm not able to develop a book of works that is filled with all the pages of all the things that if I do this, do these things, I will be good enough. I will justify myself where I'll get to heaven and the Lord will be up there and says, "Can I please see your book?" And I say, "Here it is, Lord." And the Lord looks over the top of his glasses at me and looks down at the book, and he begins to go through and read how good I lived my life, what my works were. And he gets to the end and he says, looks like you qualified. Come on in. Not going to happen. Can't do that. There's not a book that's thick enough to put that in. And may God help us not to lose our peace living life where we are constantly adding pages and items with a frantic sense of desperation of trying to live so that I earn my way in. That's a trick of the devil, particularly to conscientious souls, because you'll never get there. If we are justified by our works, there will not be a one of us in heaven. It will be a vacant place because nobody will get in. We will all stand before God painfully and dreadfully short. Do we all agree on that? Hopefully that's a resounding yes. Lord, help us to recognize that. But then, with that said, if If that isn't the case, then can I just say thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you for grace, which I do. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the unmerited favor of God applied to my life. But do I say that from my heart and then settle with living a life that matches my natural tendencies, even if it is contrary to godliness? But thank God for grace. But then settle with just continuing living the life that involves those things that is not right, not righteous, not holy, not consistent with somebody that's been set apart. But because of grace, can I just live for the Lord however? And I don't want to just say however I want. If you'll allow me, I don't want to just say however we want, because I believe it gets closer than that, because I feel like that those of us that are here this morning, we're not just living however we want. I believe that we are making decisions. We want to live good moral lives. We want to live right. But then, and this is where it gets close, but trust me, this isn't just gets close to you. This gets really close to me personally, because I am human, just like you. What about those places that are extra hard for me to sacrifice? What about those places that the Lord puts His finger on my life and I would rather just focus on something else? Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to live Your way. I want to live a good moral life, but I just would rather not. I just would rather not have to think about that thing, whatever it is, over here. Because it's just, I've tried and it's not me, or I just can't imagine living a life like that. And so, Lord, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. I know You love me. And I'm going to really focus on these things over here. Because of the grace of God, can I just close the door to that room and just thank the Lord for grace? Does this make sense where I'm trying to go? Paul headed off this question, endeavored to, in the sixth chapter of Romans. He said, well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And so for me, I believe the Lord wants to speak to me in terms of, because sometimes I say, well, Lord, I'm not just living in sin. That's not what I've given my life to, but what about this thing over here that I just really don't want to let go of? What about this thing that I just would rather not have to address? What shall we say then? Shall we just continue in sin that grace may abound? I mean, if grace abounds, and it does abound, can I just live however I want? And in fact, the more I live to my flesh and the more wrong is in my life, well, then the better grace flows. I mean, that's what he's saying. He's trying to move the pendulum way over on one side so that we can understand his point. What shall we say? Should we just continue in sin? Just give ourselves to sin so that grace can just abound? The more we sin, the more grace gets poured in. And that'd just be a good thing, because God is full of grace. So God forbid. This is scripture still. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, how does it come together like God wants it to when we have been resurrected to a new life where we're not giving our lives to sin anymore? We're saying, no, I want to follow Jesus now. Before I followed myself, I followed what I wanted to do. I was in bondage to sin. I was in bondage to wrong. Maybe I didn't want to do it, but I couldn't help myself, and my life was that way. But then Jesus came and He poured in grace, and I was resurrected, a new man, a new life. And now I'm following Jesus. Well, how does it make sense then to then turn back around and go and live back with no change? It says, God forbid. How does that make sense? How are we that have given ourselves unto life somewhere else, and we're dying out to sin, live any longer in that lifestyle? In fact, the first verse we read in Galatians, the second chapter, we read the 16th verse about there's no way that we can be justified by the works of the law. That just won't work. But the very next verse says, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, which is what we're all endeavoring to do, it's the only way we can be justified is by Christ. So if, while we're doing that, and I live my life doing that, seeking to be justified by Christ, if, while we're doing that, we ourselves also are found sinners. So while I'm endeavoring to be justified by Christ, and I want His grace to cover my life, and yet I find that in the meantime, and it's not talking about when I come to the Lord with a load of sin and He saves me. This is talking about as I live my life and I'm seeking to be justified by the grace of God, I'm continuing in the sin business. And I find myself a sinner. It said, is therefore Christ, I'm quoting the verse, is therefore Christ then the minister of sin? Was that the plan that the Lord intended to set up? Was that, I'll tell you what, here's my plan. I'm going to send my Son. He's going to pay this horrible, awful price. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to shed His blood. He's going to be spit on and hit and betrayed and misrepresented and His life taken in this horrendous way when He didn't have to. And He was the Creator and He was the Son of God. But He's going to come and He's going to do that. And He's going to also offer you a resurrection of life, so that you can be raised from the dead, but then you can go back and sit at the table and live your life in sin. That's kind of what that's saying. Is Christ therefore the minister of sin? Was that the plan? Was that the table that He set? It says, God forbid. Use those words again. Different place. God forbid. No. For if I build again the things which I destroyed by the grace of God, I make myself a transgressor. If I give myself to the Lord and I repent, and repent means a turning away from. If I repent, if I have godly sorrow, I'm sorry that I lived this way and I turned away from my sin, from wrong, and I began to follow after, and yes, it's a journey. It's a journey that involves growth. You're not going to get there all at once, but you are turning away from it so that sin is no longer your master. You're following somebody else, and the Lord is going to begin to help you grow in Him. Grow in grace. But now, if after all of this blood has been applied to my life, and I begin to follow after Jesus, but then I turn and go back and rebuild and give life back to that which was before given to the Lord to be covered under the blood, and I do that willingly. I said, no, you know, I thank the Lord that I'm saved and by His grace, but you know, I really kind of want to live this other way. And I go back and I begin to allow these things willfully into my life. I'm going to live my life like this, but thank the Lord for grace, but I want to live like this. This says that I make myself a transgressor. That's what the Scripture says, not what I'm saying. I'm reading what the Scripture says. God didn't come for us to be saved and then live life with no change. That, why would we want that anyway? I mean, if that's what we want, we're missing what the Lord has available for us. Living for the Lord is the best way to live. But living for the Lord and having the fruit of the Spirit and growing in good works, not as a means of justifying our lives, but as a blessing, where this is a blessing. I wish everyone heard Brother Shane's exhortation this morning on natural fruit that the Lord, He gave us all these different kinds of fruits to enjoy. Why did He do it? So we could enjoy it, so we could benefit from it. All these vegetables, all the different kinds of flowers, all of the trees, all of just blessings abound when He could have just said, here, eat this dirt and it will help keep you alive. And you'll be alive. And life is gray, there's no colors, but you'll be alive. And that's how it is. What would it be if it was like that? But no, the Lord, He says, oh, I want to do something good for you. I want you to enjoy all these different kinds of fruit, all these different kinds of colors, and all these vegetables, and just this wonderful creation. Do you think that the Lord thought that way about the things that are going to pass away, but didn't think that way about the things that are eternal? No. So that this whole concept of being judged by our works, it's not this punitive, okay, did you pay the price and suffer like you were supposed to while you yet lived life? Did you carry the cross appropriately and do enough good works? Let me see if you suffered enough pain. The Lord's intent in all of this was that it would be a blessing. Just like all the fruits and all the vegetables and all the colors, that we could be resurrected in Christ and allow Him to start working in our lives, where He would start coming out of our lives, and it would be this wonderful blessing to me and to all of those that are around, and of course honor God. You see, the priority when we get saved is not self anymore. It goes beyond just me. And what that means is that there's necessarily going to be some different fruit than there was before we got saved. And when we get saved, the Lord has a wonderful, beautiful plan. It's beautiful, and it's not to be feared. And this word is not to be feared, lest the enemy take advantage of you this morning, young people, middle-aged, old people. Works, oh, works. How am I gonna? That's never a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's Jesus Christ and His Spirit working through us in ways we wouldn't have been able to do on our own, and it becomes a blessing. Something that when we see it and we taste it, we say, Lord, I want more of that. And other people are able to benefit from it and enjoy it. The Lord has had this wonderful plan. And in fact, in 1 Peter 2 and 9, He said, You're a chosen generation. This is something special and good, a royal priesthood, not a beat down servant, work hard, get dirty, have no pleasure, have no life, all about paying the price so you can be justified to get in. No, you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That ye should, what? That ye should show forth. That ye should show forth the praises, or interpret it another way, the virtues. My Bible says the virtues. That ye should show forth the virtues of Him that hath called you out of darkness. This place over here that really, it didn't have anything good associated with it eternally. But the one that called you out of this dark place and into His marvelous light, you have been called. Isn't that wonderful? I've been called. You've been called. That we can be part of this holy nation. This people that the Lord said, hey, I would like, well, you come. Be part of, I've got a special work for you. Be part of who I am. Be part of my cause. Will you be part of my cause? Yes, Lord, be part of my cause. Oh, I've got some work for you to do. I have something that I want to come from your life. That it can be a blessing to other people. The Lord designed our lives to be very much about other people. And not just our own lives. And if no fruit comes out of my life, and if no fruit comes out of your life, spiritual, good fruit, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is hindered. That's right. The kingdom of God is hindered when I fail to bear fruit. And there'll come a time when the Lord looks down and He looks and He says, it's time. I'm calling it, bringing it to a close. Bringing it to an end. Not going to let it go anymore. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the work that He wants accomplished in His kingdom here on this earth is hindered when we fail to bear fruit. It's one of the reasons that we worship together. That's an aside, maybe more on that later. That's the reason that we come together as a people. And why it's important not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some people do. Because we live off of the fruit of each other's lives. I need you. You need whatever little I have to offer. And the Scripture says that we're many members, but one body. And so if I'm the ear, and I stay at home and decide I'm just going to live unto myself, just me and God. I realize I don't need to go out. Well, then I'm stuck with an ear. Understand? I mean, the Lord, there are circumstances where people are not able to come out. They're in places where they can't do that. And I know I'm not speaking of those circumstances where the Lord is able to pour in and give full portions. I'm talking about willful, intentional drawing back and reprioritizing where it's not important enough, or we don't recognize. Sometimes people would do better if they knew better. And I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about in all areas of our lives that there is fruit that we benefit from other people. And when that fruit's not there, we suffer because of it. But when we come, then there can be eyes and ears and hands and feet and a body that I can benefit from. And when we get to the end of the way, the Scriptures teach us that the Lord is going to look at our works. He's going to look at the fruit that came out of our life. And it says that it's something that we're going to be judged by. He's going to look at it. Let me say it this way in the fear of the Lord. Works cannot get you to heaven. This by itself cannot get you to heaven. But our conduct can keep us out. You see the difference? I can do all of these things and miss it. Because it's Jesus' blood. If I'm not humble and I don't repent and have His blood cover me, He's the door. It's the only way we can get in. However, the works that I do, the conduct of my life, can keep me out. Often it's a reflection of my heart. Lord willing, different service, like to speak to some of those things. There are verses in the Scriptures in multiple places that say things like, if you do these things, and it lists out specific things, if this is who you are, it says you'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. They're works, and it becomes a reflection of the heart. And it says if you do that, that's not what heaven's going to be made up of. Lord, help us. Help us all. And some we may say, well, yes, that's what I'm doing, but that's not my heart. And I say this as non-judgmental as I can because, again, I'm pointing at myself. If that's where we're at, Lord knows my heart, but I'm just going to continue to do this thing. And we know it's not right, but then we try to tell ourselves it's not our heart. Lord, help us re-examine our heart. Help us re-examine our heart. Lord, where really am I? Does this mean that there's going to be no one in heaven? Where their works, their manifested works, were not seen by me and you? No, I'm not saying that. I'm certain that there will be people in heaven that we will look at and we'll go, I don't remember seeing any good works coming out of them. How did they get here? Thank God for the grace of God. Thank the Lord that He sees our hearts. He knows who we are. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're about. And there are some people that by the blood of Jesus and His grace, He saves and gives a resurrection of life when they have virtually no more opportunity in this world to bear spiritual fruit. And yet the Lord says, come. That's the Lord's business. And I'm so thankful for His goodness, His mercy, and His compassion. However, in the fear of the Lord, these Scriptures tell us that works are important and that He has work for me and for you to do in His kingdom. That's a responsibility we have. We don't just live unto ourselves. And at a basic level, grace does not cover perpetual, continual, intentional, ongoing sin. Grace covers the one that says, Lord, have mercy on me, and begins to give themselves and strive to enter in at the straight gate. That's who grace covers. I'd like to conclude with this. Move into the conclusion. And reconsider what our vision and our purpose is in life. It's always good to ask ourselves and think about that. What is our vision? Shouldn't our vision be that I want to make heaven and hear those words, well done, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, more than anything else? And if that doesn't take place, then I've missed it. Nothing is worth hearing those words depart from me. Nothing. My vision is that I live my life in a way so that the Lord allows me a home in heaven. And so my objective then in life is to be a disciple of Christ, the one that's going to be my judge, that I be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, one that that has an interest in allowing His Spirit to work through my life, and fruit can be born that is good and beautiful and is a blessing to not only me, but to other people. That's what the Lord wants from us. But if I say that with my lips, but in practice, my priorities really are somewhere else, then I'm diminishing the priority that the Word of Truth is intended to have in our lives. May our testimony be, Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee. Why would we want it any different? It's where life is. It is where fulfillment is. It's where the power is. That's what I want. Sign me up, Lord, by Your grace. I want to live that way. I'd like to close with this reminder of the verse in the 5th chapter of Matthew. It says, let your light, not somebody else's, let your light so shine before men that they might see, not just God, but live your life so that the Lord is living in and through you, so that your light shines in a way that other people sees your good works and glorifies the Father, which is in heaven. I want to live that way. I haven't arrived. I'm not there. But it's the best way to live. Works are not a weight to be feared. It is something. It is a virtue. It is a blessing to rise up to. Say, Lord, fill me. Lord, help me to be a vessel unto honor that fruit can be born in. May the Lord give us understanding of these things. May the Lord's peace rest upon us. Amen.